I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5-Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with one tool today. CSPM McLaughlin, substitute.
What it do? I'm excited, man. Playoffs around the corner.
I know you're
excited. Holiday season.
How hard is it for not to be biased right now?
It's hard.
Yeah, it's cool. My team decided.
Which one?
The Giants.
Okay.
They had to come out and assure everyone that they were running it back because they were hearing too many rumors begin of how they're going to start cleaning house.
How do you feel about that? I feel like it was too early to say, hey, yes, we're going to bring back Danny Dimes.
Don't let the dude know that he's not on the hot seat. Like, at least get a good exit.
Yeah, he need to be coaching his tail off these last two games of the year.
Bro, and to run it back with Danny Dimes, I have a feeling that they're going to try to trade for Russ. That's what I think.
I'm mad they put it on my man, Jason Garrett, and ever since they let him go, their offense has actually been worse than what it was before. So,
oh, Mike Glennon's bad quarterback? No way. He's made like $50 million in the NFL. Hey, Colin Kaepernick, how are you doing at home? Oh, yeah, you made a Super Bowl. Mike Glennon's got a longer neck, though. That's what I look for in a quarterback.
Nah.
Looks like
someone
who
can seize over the top.
Looks like a dang defrosted chicken from the grocery store.
Damn. Looks like a giraffe. Giraffe out there just, you know, in the Sahara. Just...
But this is
waiting
Giants
to get eaten
talk,
by lions.
Because no one would listen to this if it's Giants talk. That's how bad they are. Got some good wide receivers. Jake Fromm's giving me hope, though. Best quarterback play I've seen all season.
Let's move on. That's enough of Giants talk. I'm sorry, Woody.
No, it's okay. It's been painful enough. So we got some news today.
Ooh, what
to
kind
start
of news?
It off, to, well, actually, let's don't get too excited. It's sad. Rest in peace to the GOAT, the man who's probably formed like 80% of my football terminology growing up, just because I've listened to so many franchise games on Madden on loops, but RIP John Madden.
Yeah, man, that's like legend. Like, talk about legendary status, just his voice.
Bro, I tried to explain to my girl, like, you don't even realize. Like, I played Madden franchise for, like, I was an only child, so I played for, like, the marathon runs where it's like, you know, I ain't got no one else to talk to, so I'm going to play for 8 hours. And I've listened to that man talk probably more than anyone else in my life, like recordings-wise, which is crazy.
Yeah, he great voice. I feel like for our generation, Woody, he was kind of the first guy we heard, you know, when we really started digging deep.
Yeah.
Paying attention to football. It was John Madden, Pat Summerall in the
booth. John Madden, Al Michaels.
Yeah, Al. I mean, it was incredible. So it's sad. I mean, he was getting up there in age. He was 85, so but he definitely brought a lot to the game of football.
Pat Summerall looked like he used to party. Like, John would just be eating like a nice meal at a restaurant. He's at the bar like, I call football games.
So apparently I've been listening, and John Madden was actually scared of heights and claustrophobic.
Yeah,
so they said
the Madden bus.
Yeah, and they said that like when they first started recording together, him and Pat Summerall was like, yo, what the hell is wrong with this dude? Because he was sitting in the corner sweating. He was like, yo, this guy's nervous, and he was claustrophobic and scared of heights. It's crazy.
Yeah, airplane sounds terrible for that.
Yeah, so I guess when we talk news, it's not always good news. So RIP John Madden.
Seriously. Wonder if Brett Favre ever showed him the piece before he died. You know he wanted to. That man worshiped Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre is really a god walking this earth. Like, him in a pair of Wranglers, it doesn't get better than that.
You know, John Madden seemed to have an affinity for a few quarterbacks. He had an affinity for Troy Aikman, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He loved man, I lived for him giving out those turkey legs to Barry Sanders on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Sanders is a hell of a football player.
John Madden just always talked like, you know, like he had a mouth full of food. It was awesome.
See, what's his name? Frank Caliendo, who did the Madden impersonation.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he broke it down best. If you're gonna do John Madden, you just have to say a statement and then repeat the statement in a way. Like, to get the first down, you have to pass the first down marker.
That's real. That's real.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than John Madden, we got some other news. COVID. So Dalvin Cook comes off the COVID list for the Vikings, which is a must-win game this week to keep in the playoffs. But then Kirk Cousins' favorite target, Adam Thielen, goes on the IR with his ankle sprain. Which is crazy they put him on the IR, but they tried to play him last week after missing 1 week with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, it's not looking promising here for the Vikings. They got Green Bay coming up this week. That's going to be tough. That's a big matchup for both teams.
Why haven't we learned to just put $100 on the Vikings being like 8-8 every year?
No, that's real. That's real. You could probably win some money. If you've been ahead of the curve and if you've been making that bet for the last 3 years, kudos to you.
Right? Seriously.
Why don't we think of stuff like that?
Kirk Cousins every year. Best stats.
Just coming up short.
Best 500 quarterback you'll ever see play.
Right. Like just ugh. Hey, look, before Vikings... we keep going. Oh, you know, ahead. Don't cut me out of trivia. Don't forget. I know it's just me and you today.
We're doing the news. We're doing the news.
I got a good one for
then
you.
We'll do it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got you. But so the Vikings. Let's take a quick look. Actually, we'll wait till we get to the games.
Then. Yeah.
And then also COVID news. Carson Wentz. Surprise, surprise. Non-vaccinated.
It's always the guys you can't depend on, anyways. I mean, look, they always seem to let you down somehow. Some way.
If I can run away from the NFC East pass rush for a full year, I can run away from COVID.
Man, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but now they got new protocols, which I don't know how they work, because who wants to read about COVID protocols?
Right, exactly.
But apparently Beasley, he's cleared under the new protocols, and we know he's not vaccinated. He's been online. I'm a scientist football player.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is bad for the Colts, though. We're going to talk the Colts and Vikings first because they're on the fringe. But before we get past the news,
hey,
let's sit down and take a pop quiz.
Hey, here we go. Got a good one for you.
All right.
Who was the first and only wide receiver duo to break 1,000 yards in 2021 thus far? The first and only wide receiver duo to break 1,000 yards thus far.
Ooh. T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Good job. Good job.
And Tyler Boyd's had three touchdowns the last two games or four touchdowns the last two games.
He's balling.
And he's right there. He could cross over too. He could be a trio.
All right. So here's a follow-up question. Kind of a two-part. Who was the only duo last year to break 1,000 yards? Ooh. You're gonna get this one wrong.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Give me a second. Wasn't the Steelers. Thielen was right under 1,000 yards. That's a trick question. Mari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb?
Without Dak?
Oh, that's dumb. That's dumb. One last.
No. We ain't.
Oh, that's it? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
I can't even get a second guess?
No, this is 1990s.
All right. Who was it?
Nothing here.
Who was it?
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett.
Oh, duh. That makes sense. I think about it.
But
well, not this year.
I did think you'd guess Jefferson and Adam Thielen, though. I did. Thank you. Because, I mean, that's a really good guess, right?
Well, yeah. Thielen was like a 970 yards. So.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
It's funny. I caught myself.
Now I got caught myself on the hard ass question next week. But yeah,
I caught myself on the Vikings to say a worse answer. All right, let's move into these games, man. Let's look at these games, man.
Playoffs.
All right, man. So let's hop right into it. Let's talk about the Vikings first. The Vikings. It was an ugly game. But one thing I'll tell you, you know, I love to toot my own horn on this podcast, honka honka. But the Rams, I reiterate, for like the third week in a row, are a better team with a power running game than Sony Michel.
Yeah.
He beats up the defense. It helps the play action. I was actually talking to Sori about this the other day. Our buddy Sori, he played college football. And I was saying, like, yo, Sony Michel, like, it just, that power running game, it gets the defense leaning a little more forward as the game goes on. It gives them that split second more on the play action. He's like, exactly. And he's like, he makes him so much better for playoff football than what Henderson did. Henderson's just too small. He's athletic. He's good to mix in. But Sony should be the lead back for that offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Rams are on a four-game win streak. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say they're hot, but they're winning games right now, and that's important. You want to do that, you know, going into the postseason. So kudos to the Rams. I feel like we've kind of, I don't know, we haven't really talked about the Rams here lately over the last month or so. And I think it was just coming off of that three-game losing skid where they lost to the Niners, Packers, and the Titans.
You think the Rams are worried about Matthew Stafford yet?
Bro, Matthew Stafford isn't it. All right. Now, with that being said, McVay, do I think he can win a Super Bowl? Actually, you know, I don't even want to stick my neck out there and say that, because Stafford is, I don't mean to do all these sound bites, but he's becoming who we thought he was. Like, he's a good player, but I mean,
where we see if it's worth it or not is when the Rams are down by 3 points in the fourth quarter in the NFC Championship. If he can lead them down the field the way Jared Goff could.
See, I feel that. All right, look, this is what I need. I need that to happen, but I also need that the following week, which is a bigger game than the previous week because we're talking postseason here, I need to know that he's not going to throw two or three interceptions, right? So I know he can come back, you know, down three to win the game. I just need him to put it together, consistency.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know what I'm saying? And, like, he has a tendency to force feed his number one guy the ball, too. Like, he did it in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. He's doing it with Cooper Kupp now.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost. Yeah.
You got words. You don't want Cooper to win, bro.
No, look.
We've had this debate 3 weeks now.
Yeah,
Brandon ain't here to separate us. Put it on the table.
No, bro. Cooper Kupp. Look. Cooper Kupp isn't Devontae Adams. Cooper Kupp isn't DeAndre Hopkins. Cooper Kupp isn't Terry McLaurin, bro.
I don't know.
At a certain point,
he's beating double coverage.
Bro, they're still not doubling him like that. There's still a lot of receivers that are getting doubled more than Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
For a reason. You know, schematically, it's amazing. And I'm not trying to take – he's a top 10 receiver. No doubt, but I just don't.
Would you rather have Wes Welker or Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
Because I feel like he gives you everything Welker gave you and a little bit more.
Yeah, I think.
Exactly. Like, I feel like he's a better red zone Wes Welker.
Well, I look, Cooper Kupp, man, this game's so much stuff for him. You know, so it's like he's kind of the key of that offense. Like,
Odell's becoming a force in the end zone again,
yeah,
which is nice.
That's big. Yeah.
I think, honestly, he's the key to their playoff success if he can have some big games in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not really on the Rams. They could be scary. They got a lot of talent. They really have everything.
They're my question mark in the NFC.
Yeah,
You don't know which one you're going to get. Are you going to get, like, the dominant Rams, where their defense is showing up and Aaron Donald's is just beast, Von mm-hmm. Miller's playing, or are we going to get the Rams like last week through three interceptions against the Minnesota Vikings, who are 7-8? So looking at the playoff picture in the NFC, You got the Eagles at 8-7. Then you got the 49ers at 8-7. So they're both in.
So if it started today, they'd
be. If it started today. So that leaves one spot for the play-in. Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, and Minnesota Vikings. Correct?
Right. I'm sorry, Woody. Basically, you have three teams at 7-8. The two final spots, both teams are 8-7. And then you got Washington, who at 6-9, they haven't been eliminated yet. But
isn't there a seventh seed play-in thing?
No, so there's not a play-in. It's just instead of your first and second seed getting a bye, it's just the first. Yep, and it's 2-7. You feel me? It makes sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's new for all of us because this is only the second year of the format. So
basically, we're looking at Minnesota, Atlanta, and New Orleans right now. Minnesota was by far the best team there. New Orleans, if they had if they had one of their two quarterbacks, I'm taking New Orleans because of the defense. Like if they have Taysom or Jameis Winston, I'll take New Orleans because of the defense.
Right, but that's just not the case right now.
Exactly. So right now, I'd take the Vikings. Maybe Atlanta, but it's just you don't know how their line's going
to
line up.
I mean, look, New Orleans to finish out the season, they have the Panthers, and then they have to go to Atlanta on season finale.
Here's the thing. I thought that was crazy matchup too, and good for them, but they've also lost to both those teams this year.
So. No, that's real. That's real. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's some teams that –
It's very hard to beat a team twice in the NFL, though, so that might actually play to their advantage at this point.
Maybe so. I mean, you know, you could be someone like the 49ers, right, who they're on the cusp, right? They'd be in right now today. They get Texans this Sunday, which is great.
Yeah.
Right? But then the season finale, they got to travel to L.A. and go against the Rams, right?
Well, so if the Saints and the Vikings would have won last weekend, the 49ers would have lost if the Eagles, Saints, and Vikings won out. Even if the 49ers won out, they would have lost.
Yeah.
So there's some like weird stuff because, I mean, this is what we're seeing in the NFL this year is parity. Right now we're going through a transition phase in the NFL where all of our favorite players from the last 20 years, they're out the door. Tom Brady's the last one left. He's literally our last part of our NFL childhood.
Changing
in
the league guards.
Right now. And so this is what we saw in the NBA in, like, the 2010s when it was that transition from, like, Kobe, KG, Duncan to LeBron, Wade, and Melo.
Yeah.
So we're right in that in-between era. But what that also means in the next 5 years, we're going to see an explosion of talent that we're going to see for the next, like, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this class we had this year is actually going to be one of the most important classes in the next decade. A lot of really good rookies this year. What we saw out of this, Kirk Cousins, once again, 27-38, 315 yards, TD and an interception. Still looked terrible. Couldn't get the third downs when they needed it. It was just, you know, Kirk Cousins stuff.
Kirk Cousins stuff, exactly. And look, I mean, when you pull up his numbers, you look at his season stats, you're going to be like, oh, he's actually having a pretty good season. But that's why you actually got to watch the game. That. You gotta watch it.
That's what got him $40 million a year.
Exactly.
Hey, this guy's pretty good, actually. You ever watch the game?
Let's give it to him fully guaranteed.
Yeah. Browns and Packers. Packers just keep on winning. But the story here is Baker Mayfield threw four interceptions. And this was after he said he felt healthier this game than he has all year.
Yeah, look. So two of the interceptions weren't his fault. However, he still threw them. Look, Baker's just not the guy, and we've been saying that.
I've been saying that.
I think people are starting to realize that. And look, what I really want to touch on here is Green Bay. So yeah. You know, Green Bay, by all accounts, go back last week, past couple of weeks, I think unanimously we'd all say they were the favorites in the NFC. Well, now they've won, but they've put together some questionable performances. Cleveland had a chance to win the game.
Midway through this game, one of the offensive linemen stepped on Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah, I seen that. So. Aaron Rodgers, he didn't seem too hampered by it. He limped around for a few plays. He looked like he shook it off, and you know, he finished the game. But Cleveland had a chance to win this game on a field goal. Baker Mayfield threw an interception to Rajul Douglas, which it was a blatant hold pass interference. The referee didn't throw a flag, but Packers could have lost this game. Week before, we saw them against Chicago. Their special teams looked horrible. I was looking at some advanced stats before we got here today. Green Bay actually has the worst-rated special teams in the NFL. So, look, that's Green Bay on the forefront, on the surface, look really good. But they do have some holes in special teams, and that offensive line being banged up. It's two of them.
And Aaron Jones hasn't really looked the same since he come back from injury.
He hasn't. So, look, this it's not as cut and dry as you would like. And they got to go against Minnesota this coming Sunday. It's a big game for both teams. But also, Green Bay has a chance to win or lose this game. And then Dallas has Arizona, which is a matchup of two.
And Arizona's skidding right now. We'll get to them. That might be an easier dub than you think.
No, for sure. For sure.
But let's talk about Cleveland here. So Cleveland, I think this is Baker Mayfield's audition for his contract next year. He's got to beat the Steelers and the Bengals to get into the playoffs. And that's not even guaranteed.
Yeah, I think he's done.
I think he's done too. But the worst thing that can happen for the Browns right now is if he beats the Bengals and the Steelers.
So what do you do as a coach? You just call all the wrong plays over the next couple of
weeks? No, you put in Case Keenum. Better quarterback. Yeah.
That's real.
I mean, four picks after you say you feel healthier than you felt all season.
So, look, I'm gonna go ahead because I know at some point during the show we're going to get to Defensive Player of the Year. The Cleveland Browns have a worthy candidate in Myles Garrett.
They do, but tell me why it's not Myles Garrett.
Well, Cleveland Browns are 7-8. They've been a huge disappointment thus far this season. That defense has been, it's been good at times. It's been really bad at times. Myles Garrett has disappeared during games. Teams have been able to systematically and schematically kind of make him a non-factor at times, which when we get to Pittsburgh and we touch on TJ Watt, when he plays, he's always a factor.
Always.
When he plays.
That's true.
You dig what I'm saying?
Because that's the comparison between athleticism and technique. Mm-hmm. Perfect technique, you're in there every play having some functional type of effect.
Myles Garrett is an athletic freak, okay? TJ Watt is a technical freak. Yeah. It's functional. His strength, the stuff he does, it's functional. He can apply it to rushing the passer. Myles Garrett, yeah, he has a pretty jumper. Yeah, he has a 40-inch vertical. He can, you know, take a rim off a backboard.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. But not all of that.
He can literally teleport to other sides again. His cameras can't even catch.
That TikTok was crazy.
Right? That was nuts. I think Cleveland's in trouble here. I think they beat the Steelers. I think this is a test for the Cleveland and a test for the baby Bengals at the end of the season, that Week 17 game. I think that's going to be big.
Yeah.
It's going to show us a lot what Mr. Burrow is made out of. Let's talk about that Bengals game real quick, Joe Burrow. So the Bengals, I mean the Ravens came out and said that they don't view Joe Burrow as an elite quarterback yet.
The Ravens didn't say that. The defensive coordinator for the Ravens said that.
Joe Burrow took that personally.
Yeah, my man, what's his name?
Wink Martindale.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. Joe Burrow, wow. 525 yards, 4 touchdown passes, and my favorite one was like a running lob, like a Russell Wilson running lob up the middle to T. Higgins. That was beauty.
Fourth most in NFL history. And then, look, this offense is loaded with weapons. It's something we've known. That offensive line is the huge question mark because Joe Burrow is, you know, taking some shots back there. But make no doubt about it. You know who I'm really happy for here? Joe Mixon, man. That's who I was thinking about this a few days ago. I'm so happy for Joe Mixon.
That man been through it.
Been getting his body wrecked for no reason. And now it's a reason.
He got wrecked because he wrecked others.
So look, do you think the Bengals here, do you think they win the North?
Yeah, I think so. I've been like on the verge of saying it for a couple of weeks. They just always have that one little slip up loss, but it's just inexperience. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Is T. Higgins the best wide receiver on the Bengals?
No, it's still Ja'Marr Chase. Cincinnati should have drafted a lineman.
Higgins, man, he's looking great.
No, he's a beast.
Yeah. And Tyler Boyd would be putting up numbers on any team.
Bro, it's scary in Cincinnati right now. Cincinnati, you know what the organization need to do? Build an indoor stadium next year.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, a lot of weapons on that offense.
Seriously. So, question. Cincinnati all time. Are you taking Chad Ochocinco, TJ Husmanzada, and Anthony Henry, RIP? Oh,
of course.
Or T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyler Boyd?
I'm taking the old school.
Yeah. Just because of Ochocinco.
Well, just because I've seen them, you know, MFers do it for a decade.
Yeah.
I've only seen these cats do it for a year. T. Higgins had a good rookie year, you know, but
TJ Husmanzada and Orlando Scandrick have a really fun podcast where they say some wild stuff.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting. I never knew those guys were like
I didn't either.
Friends. But TJ, I don't even think they ever played on the same team together.
Orlando Scandrick was telling the story to TJ about TJ Husmanzada. He's like, this dude's crazy. He got a financial advisor and he's like, instead of just like getting a lawyer and signing some contracts, he looked at me and he's like, yo, if you take my money, I'll kill you.
Oh, wow.
See, you know? So go watch that for some great content.
That's funny.
The Ravens, are we, like, their first-round exit right now, right?
I mean, they gotta make the playoffs.
Yeah, they gotta make the playoffs.
They gotta make the playoffs.
Lamar's coming back this week.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have the... They got the Rams this week, right?
Yeah, they got the Rams this week. I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I'm loving it, man, because I got Ravens fans all over my social media. It's been beating me up all season. Bro, I wake up Monday morning to, like, hate mail and messages and stuff from everybody, especially Ravens fans. And now, you know, I'm getting the last laugh. I can't even tag these people. I can't even find them on social media anymore. I'm like, what?
That's hilarious. They deactivated?
Not even playing fair. But it is what it is.
All right, let's talk about the Colts and the Cardinals. Colts and Cardinals, Carson Wentz is going to miss the next week. This was a huge win for the Colts.
Yeah.
Back-to-back, Pats almost beat the Bucks too, and they took out the Cardinals. They're on a tear right now. This is a Super Bowl contending team, flat out. But Carson Wentz just got put on the COVID list. Going to miss this week.
Carson.
Sam Ellinger, shout out to the University of Average Football, Texas Longhorns. They're playing the Raiders this week.
The last time Texas Longhorns faced... Never mind, I won't even go there.
Bing. It was Bing, man. He just sat there in the end zone while Vince Young just ran right up to him.
Yeah.
Anyways. but yeah, the Colts, they play the Raiders this week. If they can sneak one for Ellinger, they play the Jaguars, so they should win out. But this is a test of a good football team. A good football team, you lose your quarterback for one game, they should be able to pull it out against a 500 team here.
Don't even put the ball in the backup quarterback's hands, right? Just turn around, just tell him to hand it off. Just hand it off. And you'll be okay.
Yeah,
it's a game that you should win. Just, you know, pull a Belichick and just run the ball on every play.
No, that's about right. So if the Colts go in, who do they match up well against?
The Colts, that's the funny thing. I feel like that's the scary thing about the Colts. I feel like they match up well against anyone. They have weapons on the outside on
offense.
Destroyed
the Bills too.
They're good at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. It's just about health, you know. If they can get guys back and stay healthy, they're a scary opponent. Do I think they're Super Bowl contenders? I don't. Do I think that they could string off a win or two? I do.
Yeah, I think that they can make a run. If that defense, the way of how aggressive the defense is in the first quarter, punching the ball out and getting interceptions, I know that's not necessarily sustainable, but aggressive defenses are just such a wild card.
What about especially Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz has been playing good football, man.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's my point. See, when you got to go low and then go high, you know, when I'm just asking you just, you know, a simple question.
He's been playing mistake-free football.
Oh, there you go. You said it with your chest that time.
A little bass to it.
Oh, yeah. But you don't believe it.
It's hard to believe, but I do.
It's like, yeah, you know, I think she's really going home after work, but
Chargers Texans. We're not gonna spend much time here. Chargers have choked two in a row. Is this hiring a coach that's 32 years old? That's what I think this is.
I don't know what it is, but I'm loving this one too, because you know what? I got some Chargers fans on my social media, and I noticed this one hurt you a little bit.
Who's the Chargers fans on your social media,
bro?
I didn't know we had many of those,
bro. I didn't either until they started winning a little bit this year. I'm like, oh, but. I'm loving it.
Justin Herbert had a rough game against the Texans.
He did. Look, this is you got a young team. We talked about it earlier in the year. They make a lot of mistakes. A lot of boneheaded penalties and things like that. And this is what happens. A game you were supposed to win against a bad team late in the season. There's no excuse for the Chargers to drop this one. Like, no excuse.
Bills Patriots. The Bills. I said this to you earlier, as good as this win was, I don't think it was impressive. I think it was necessary. It was a must-win game. They needed to win this game to prove that they belonged in the contender conversation.
Yeah, I think it just kind of – the Bills don't – they still don't look great, right? But it does
– Damian Harris has torched them for 5 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely stops the bleeding for Buffalo, and who knows, you know, maybe they were smelling themselves a little bit. We don't know what was going on, but
yeah,
Buffalo,
no, that could be it.
They were Super Bowl contenders. We had all been screaming it for, I'd say, probably about the last 275 days, and then a month ago happened, and then we were like, I don't know. And look, Buffalo's a better team than New England. Buffalo had no...
Overall.
Buffalo had no reason... They shouldn't have lost a few weeks ago when they played New England the first time. But I think Buffalo is they're a team that I would not want to face in the playoffs because Josh Allen is an equalizer.
It's true.
But, it, you know, line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively, they're not good.
Yo, can we talk about just very briefly the Jets? There's excitement for the Jets for the first time.
Yeah, make it quick.
I mean, so they drafted 3 offensive. Zach Wilson started to look better as the season gone on. Carter looks like a legit running back. And Elijah Moore has looked outstanding at wide receiver. Now they're going to have 2 top 10 first round picks next year because they have Seattle's pick. And Seattle just lost to the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I'm just saying. Things are looking a little exciting there for the first time in a while for the Jets.
I mean, I don't disagree. Next.
All right, there we go.
It's the Jets. I mean, look, I don't want to be hopeful for the Jets, right? Like, I don't have nothing against the Jets, and quite frankly, there's no reason to have anything against the Jets. Why would you? But
normally, we would sit here and be praising the Chiefs for the most outstanding win on the weekend, dominant win over a playoff-contending Pittsburgh Steelers, but I don't think we need to talk about that because I think the game to talk about that was the most impressive win of the weekend was the Sunday Night Football game. Your Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington football team. I have not seen a beatdown like that in the first half in years. Washington was missing a bunch of people due to COVID, and Dak does what good quarterbacks do. He destroyed a bad defense.
Destroyed him.
4 touchdown passes the first half, put me in 2 different fantasy championships. My new favorite player.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dallas, they're clicking on all cylinders. We've all said it. They're a talented roster from top to bottom. They just have to play complementary football. The offense has to play well when the defense is playing well. And this is what we saw. And look, when the offense is clicking and that defense is turning the ball over, playing well, this is what you get. You get 56-14 versus a team that's contending for a playoff spot. And they're not even a month removed from beating Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Like, sure. This is that same team.
When that lineman grabbed that interception, was it Gregory?
It was DeMarcus Lawrence.
It was DeMarcus Lawrence.
Oh my gosh, bro.
That was one of the sickest defensive and interceptions I've ever
bro,
seen.
Bro, I was like, ain't no way he about to score. The way he just hurtled and just maneuvered through the traffic.
Looked
on the
graceful. Look graceful. Like, he had flashbacks to high school, just being bigger than everyone else, running through.
And then, look, Amari Cooper, my strong receivers out there, you should take note. Amari Cooper, he didn't do anything crazy. He went on a podcast and he said, you know, I wish I had more targets because I think I could help the team. And you know what they responded with? They threw him the ball 11 times. Seven catches, 85 yards.
CeeDee Lamb still touchdown.
CeeDee Lamb, 8. Dalton Schultz, look, I'm telling you, this Dallas offense, they should be getting Tyron Smith back. They're booking left tackle. It's scary, man.
You trying to not get too excited?
Dallas and Green Bay, man, those are kind of like the two teams in the NFC that looks like the easiest pick.
Let's not count out Tampa either. I was about to get to that. Antonio Brown.
And then it's not even so much about Antonio Brown for me. It's just about Tom Brady, man. I mean, obviously, it's you got to have weapons. But Tom Brady is why you can never count whatever team he's on out.
This is true, but losing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, literally two top 10 arguably wide receivers in the NFL, yeah, top 15 at least, and to be able to have maybe arguably the best wide receiver of all time since Jerry
Definitely
Rice.
In this decade.
This decade, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's an argument there. The fact that you can, especially with his size, there's an argument there.
Yeah.
To be able to just come in after like a long psycho suspension / injury where it all kind of blurred together. Well, Antonio Brown's just a wild ride, man. He's like the Alice in Wonderland of careers. Like, he just threw the looking glass down the wormhole. Just to be able to bring in that guy off the bench, like, I don't know, it's impressive. Ronald Jones, next man up. Keyshawn Vaughn, next man up.
Yeah.
Looked good.
Tampa, look, NFC, it's a 3, maybe 4 team race in the NFC. Yeah. AFC, wide open.
Drew Locke's taking over for the rest of the season for your boy Teddy B over in Denver. Stick a fork in him?
Yeah. 7-8 right now, 2 games remaining. Coming off a loss to Vegas. I say stick a fork in him.
Vegas is really missing Darren Waller.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, look, the Raiders, they became who we know them to be. You know, they started off the season 3-0. We thought things were different. Before you know it, Henry Ruggs is, you know,
in trouble.
That's doing his thing. You got Damon Arnett waving guns on Instagram, threatening to kill people. You got
Yo,
John
that
Gruden.
Was the wildest clip, and it just went away so quick. This man brought out an AR and said, talk some men.
It's crazy, man. Vegas, it's been a lot of news in Vegas, and it hasn't been all football
This
news.
Is what we thought was going to happen. Yeah. You go to a city that's designed to never sleep and spend money.
I mean, that's a hell of a timeline. Like, think about it. Call Nassib, comes out as gay, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a bad or good thing. He just comes out as gay. That's news.
Nice. Cool.
And then Henry Ruggs.
And it turns out his coach thinks that he's...
Oh, right. And then John Gruden. Then Damon Arnett. Then John Madden died.
And Darren Waller's out here rapping.
And he's hurt.
rapping.
Yeah.
Not a lot of football.
No.
Not enough football.
No.
That's basically it. But coolest part of the Raiders season has been Hunter Renfrow. Dude's turned into like a top 10 fantasy wide receiver down the stretch here. Yeah. Good Ballin. For him. Oldest looking young man I've ever seen.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh.
He's got a weird face.
Bro, he just looks like actually, I can't say that, but I don't know.
All right. before we close it out, let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. You worried?
Yeah, man.
They should have DeAndre Hopkins back for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm still worried about Arizona just because I feel like I don't know, and maybe it comes down to Cliff just not being a great NFL coach. You know, I've said he's done a good job all year, but you know, once you game plan versus Kyler Murray, once you see blueprints to stop him or slow that offense down, you know, then kind of you can see how good or how great a coach is, you know, just based off adjustments. And it looks like a lot of teams, they're running a lot of zone. They're making Arizona really slow it down, really have to dink and dunk, keeping Kyler Murray in the pocket, keeping him in front of them, and Arizona's offense is struggling a bit. So,
well, here I have a stat for you. Including his time at Texas Tech, Kingsbury is 42-20-1 in games 1 through 7 and 16-43 after. Right?
Yeah, so.
Somebody has a problem closing.
Yeah, I mean, look, that defense, you can run on them. That offense.
The play calling gets very predictable.
It gets predictable. It's very.
A lot of long routes.
It's very collegiate. And I mean, I don't know. I think Arizona, again, that's a team I wouldn't want to face because that team does have talent. You know, it's talent in that secondary with Byron Murphy and Buda Baker. And I just think you can run on the defense. And then I don't. Offensively, they haven't shown me enough. I kind of feel like the way I feel about Kyler Murray and Arizona offenses is kind of how I feel about Buffalo's. I do feel like it's more structure on Arizona's offense, but I feel like if Kyler Murray plays out of this world, you have a really good chance that you're going to win. If he doesn't, you're probably going to lose. And if your team is set up like that, I can't necessarily say that's a good team. I mean, you want your quarterback Connor to play well, but if they have to.
Connor coming back next week and Edmonds and him together, they make a difference.
Yeah, but do they make enough of a difference? Is
I think J.J. Watt going down is what really hurt them.
I think it hurt him too. But, you know, that was predictable.
He was the glue guy on that deal. Yeah, of course it is. J.J. Watt's gotten injured like every year.
Yeah, he's going to come back next year. Did he? They signed him to a contract.
I know he
traded for him.
2 years.
Okay.
No, he's free agent. He got cut from the
team. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the Cardinals, they close out. They play your Cowboys this Sunday. They may catch their fourth L in a row, legitimately.
Let's see, where's that game at?
It's at Cowboys.
Gotta be in Dallas, right? Yep. Okay. Hey, look, I'm excited about that because I'll tell you what, this game against Washington this past weekend, that was the hypest I've ever. Like, I had chills. That Dallas crowd was going insane. And AT&T Stadium, since it's open, it has not been necessarily a home field advantage for Dallas. But this past Sunday, it was some energy in that crowd. And now Arizona's going to be coming. And look, Dallas has a chance to get that number one seed if Green Bay can lose to Minnesota here this week. So
should I be worried about starting Dak this week in two fantasy championships? Am I going to get another Dak performance? They're going to run.
I think they're going to run, but look, Mike McCarthy, they're still going to pass the ball far more than what they're going to run the ball, but they're going to do their due diligence. I think they're going to come in here and try to run. Now mind you, this Dallas defense is good. It's still susceptible to give up, quite an amount of yards. So with that being said, this could be a high scoring game. It's indoors. Yep. It's the conditions are good. I would bet on Dak to have, you know, 3-4 touchdown performance.
Oh, I would love it. I'm gonna hold you to that. I'm gonna send you a 20 spot if he does.
All right, bet.
All right, yo. That was a fun episode, man. It was good talking over the playoffs. I know it's been a little bit less content here in the new year, but you know, people getting COVID, moving, it's all happening right now. but we've been doing something else. If anybody listening, go check it out. Me and Brandon, and we're gonna get C on some of these coming up. We've been doing these scout videos for the next year's NFL prospects. A couple of them are starting to get some views online. Got a couple thousand views. It's going well. Go check those out. Football Scout 365's YouTube channel. And as always, check us out, the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. Need some music. Yeah.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do.